This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jonathan Rentels joins me live in studio. He is the founder and the executive director at the Center for Creative Voices in Media. Happy summer. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Coy. Great to be here.
It's good to see you. We got a lot we want to talk about, but before we get there, I want to give you a moment just from one dad to another just to brag a little bit, because you have
got
to
brag on my kids.
Yeah, well, we were talking during the break, and you have two amazing children, and I just want to give you an opportunity to boast a little bit and puff your chest out, and you have actually a lot to brag about.
Well,
I mean, this isn't one of those cases where, hey, my daughter won the soccer game Saturday. I mean, this is amazing.
Well, thank you, Coy. I mean, I appreciate the opportunity. Because I love to brag on my kids. My son, JB, just returned from a week in Newport News where he was one of 25 high school students with disabilities in the state of Virginia invited to the Youth Leadership Forum, which is sponsored by the state of Virginia. And he had a terrific leadership experience there with the other kids and got to meet the First Lady of Virginia. And it was a great honor and a terrific state program. I'm so proud of being a Virginian that we have a program like that in this state, and I'm so proud of my son for being a part of it.
Yeah, one of 25. That's amazing. And it involved a speech?
He made a speech in the General Assembly of the state of Virginia. Yeah, it's quite amazing, on global warming.
Yeah, that is
he's amazing. Against it.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, well, good for him.
So
that's great. And your daughter recently won like a national competition.
My 12-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, entered an invention that she had come up with in an invention contest sponsored by a group called Buy Kids for Kids. And that organization is dedicated to promoting inventions by children. And her idea was called the Water Watcher, where you would screw it onto a faucet or a shower head. And it would beep as a half gallon of water would go through, and you would be aware of exactly how much water you were using, and then you would think about conserving it. It's really a very ingenious idea.
Yeah, because we have no idea how much water is in a shower, for example. Or somebody told me recently how many gallons like a home uses in one day. It's amazing.
And she did all this research about that, and I'm unfortunately drawing a blank as to how many gallons we use.
It's a lot,
but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so she entered this, and she won the state contest, for which they awarded her a very nice laptop computer. And then we just learned a few days ago she won the $10,000 national grand prize. So
as a child inventor.
As a 12-year-old inventor. So
that's amazing.
It's been an amazing family summer, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you have a lot to be proud of.
Thank you.
Fantastic kids.
Thank you.
So let's transition, if we can, to talking a little bit of media news.
Right.
The breaking news that we learned recently involves the Supreme Court, right?
No, actually the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Has just reversed the FCC decision, which fined the CBS network over $500,000 for the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction incident at the 2004 Super Bowl.
Okay. So the government sanctioned CBS, and then the courts now have looked at it a few years later and said, no, you can't. You don't have grounds to do that.
That's right. And the Center for Creative Voices in Media, which I'm the executive director of, weighed in as a amicus in the case, a friend of the court. We filed a brief. And what the court found was the same thing that the court in the Second Circuit found last year, which we discussed, when Cher and Nicole Richie and Bono used the fleeting expletives.
Right.
They use words that are indecent. But they were, kind of spur-of-the-moment exclamation type things. And in that case, the Second Circuit said, you, FCC, Federal Communications Commission, have arbitrarily and capriciously chosen to fine these broadcasters who broadcast this, despite the fact that you have 30 years of precedent that say should not be subject to a fine. And the Third Circuit in the Janet Jackson case said the identical thing. So this is two courts of appeal now that have said the FCC is going too far and being arbitrary and capricious in regulating the content of television.
Now, what do you say to the folks out there, the social conservatives among us, who are like, I don't want boobies on my TV during a football game, whether it's an accident or not, and I don't want to have to listen to this dirty talk?
I agree with that. I agree with the sentiment. I practice it at home. Our family didn't actually see the halftime of the 2004 Super Bowl because even before Janet Jackson took the stage, it was clear that it was lewd, it was anti-women, it was kind of seemed to be talking about and possibly promoting date rape. I mean, it was really an outrage.
Over the line, yeah.
Yeah, it was over the line. But the question is, what do you do about it? You know, none of us want that. But if you censor it, the unintended consequence of that is that a whole lot of good content coming down the line gets censored. For example, PBS censored a documentary on Marie Antoinette that it had a pen and ink drawing of a nude woman in the background of one of the scenes. They just, in the Denver station, just took it off the air. Now, that's a show that parents want their kids to see. They would be thrilled for their kids
to be watching a documentary.
To be watching a documentary. You know, the same with Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List, Roots, full of nudity, lynching, bad language, the N-word all over the place.
Right, right.
Murder, rape. I mean, I hate to even say these things over the air in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that was a show that was assigned to kids in junior high school and high school to watch, as you know,
you're going
to
get something out of this,
educating
positive,
them.
Yeah,
and that has not been shown on broadcast television in years, and we think it's a direct result of the FCC,
of the climate of this administration.
Absolutely, throwing out their precedents, going far over the line, and calling into question that things that were broadcast decades ago and were fine.
Yeah.
Might now be indecent.
I remember sitting with my family in the family room watching Roots every night.
Absolutely.
We watched the whole thing.
Absolutely. And shouldn't parents have the choice of whether they can watch that with their children or not? And right now the government is denying them that choice.
We're talking with Jonathan Rentels, the executive director of Creative Voices, the Center for Creative Voices in Media, online at creativevoices.us. What's the latest on net neutrality, and remind us again what that is?
Net neutrality is an issue we're very interested in. It's where internet access providers providing broadband internet, for example, Embark and Comcast are the two biggest broadband internet service providers here. People use them to access the internet. Where the FCC has given them the right to control what the internet looks like to their customers. And that basically has
sort of like being in China, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, that is so odd because if you use a telephone, the old dial-up internet access, that's governed under the common carrier rules, where the telephone company or the Earthlink or whomever you use couldn't touch the content. You do anything you want because
you can get to everything
rules.
That's out there.
Right. But on broadband, they have a different set of rules. So net neutrality is trying to say to these broadband service providers, you have to not discriminate against content on the internet. You have to give your customers an opportunity to be able to go where they want to go on the internet, as long as it's not illegal, you know.
Yeah.
And Comcast was caught discriminating against and degrading an application called BitTorrent that a lot of people use to download video. Well, there are some skeptics, myself included, who thought, gee, isn't it interesting that Comcast just picked out this one particular application that downloads a lot of video when Comcast is in the business of selling video through their cable system.
Uh-huh.
And BitTorrent competes with them. People download television shows and movies with it all the time, sometimes legally, unfortunately, too often illegally. You know, pirated stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's an issue. But that they weren't discriminating against that one way or the other. They just said, no BitTorrent on our lines.
Even the legal use of it.
Yes. And even, you know, the Associated Press caught on to this and put a file of the King James Bible on BitTorrent and then tried to download it over Comcast lines and were blocked, continually blocked or slowed down.
Wow.
So network neutrality is trying to prevent that, keep it open, non-discriminatory. And the fascinating thing is that the chairman of the FCC, Kevin Martin, who a couple of years ago said the FCC had no business regulating this and that their principles that they had established against discrimination, like I've described, were not enforceable, has come out and said, we got to enforce this against Comcast. So he's had a remarkable kind of a turn that we're very pleased with. So kudos to Kevin Martin.
Yeah. Folks who are familiar with his work in the past wouldn't have expected that.
No, definitely not. I mean, he is...
He would have been hands off and let the big business do what they want to do.
What's good for business is good for all the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, the paying subscriber at home on the computer, you know, we get screwed.
Right. And if we had a choice of 10 broadband internet service providers and Comcast was doing this, we could go to one of the other 9 and get BitTorrent all day.
Yeah.
The problem is that people don't have a choice. I mean, maybe they have a choice of telephone or cable. I know where I live in Keswick, there's only telephone.
Yeah.
So I don't have a choice. But most people, you know, just have that choice of one or two. So you can't just say, well, if you don't like it, you know, take your business elsewhere.
And Clinton's Telecom Act of 1996 was supposed to open the floodgates. Remember that? For competition in just this area. And yet we've since learned that the folks who were involved in it were writing all the rules to benefit just a few key players.
Yeah, that has been very disappointing, that was supposed to promote competition. In fact, it destroyed it.
Yeah, and it was supposed to promote competition and as a result bring our rates down for buying all this stuff.
Yep.
And it was just the opposite, exactly the opposite. Less competition and
higher rates
have gone up. I mean, what are you paying now for phone and cable and all that versus 12 years ago, you know?
Yeah, the rates for cable have gone up more than almost anything else in the... you know, consumer price.
We got rid of our satellite TV. We turned it off.
That away.
Because we were paying it. It went up. It's like every month it went up. And it was like $60 a month or something. And we never watched it anyway.
Yeah.
So it was like, I can't justify this anymore.
Well, hopefully with this new digital television coming where the broadcasters can put more channels into the bandwidth, you know, with the digital conversion coming up, people are going to have to switch to digital, but you get more channels. And if they would just put a news and a sports channel and a weather channel into that offering, I think a lot of people would give up their satellite and cable.
We're talking with Jonathan Rentels, the executive director of the Center for Creative Voices and Media, online at creativevoices.us. In the time that we have left, can we explore a little bit, and we'll have to have you back in to do this in depth, but can we explore a little bit the differences that you see as somebody who's been working in this field for a long time, the differences you see between Barack Obama and John McCain when it comes to this type of stuff, when it comes to technology and media?
Well, in short, Barack Obama gets it and John McCain doesn't. I mean, to Barack Obama, computers and technology and the internet can solve some of, probably in full disclosure, I should say, I have a tech, media, and telecom advisor to the Obama campaign. So I don't
we
come
know
at
that
this.
Now.
But, you know, one reason is because he gets it. And he sees these as powerful tools to solve other problems, like broadband everywhere helps to deal with global warming, gas prices, the energy crisis, because you can do everything. You can telework. You can do everything, you know, from your computer.
You don't have to drive to the
driving
DMV.
All over. Can, yeah. For John McCain, computers make great paperweights.
Yeah.
That's about the best you can say.
It truly is a generational thing.
He just does
Although
not
there's plenty
get
of
it
people,
at all.
In fairness, there's plenty of people John McCain's age who get on and off the internet with ease.
Absolutely.
But he's not one of them.
He is not, and he has to be shown the way. And this is true for George Bush, too, as well, by the way. I have to tell you, I can remember
my dad telling me stories. My dad, who worked with Senator Thurmond for a long time, Thurmond not only didn't use a computer, he had trouble using a phone.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, a push button phone. He's like, you know, where's the dial on this thing?
No. And I just want to say that, you know, technophobia is not, you know, partisan one way or the other. There are plenty of liberal, you know, technophobes.
Right, right.
But Obama's victory in the Democratic primary in many ways can be attributed to his incredible use of the internet. I mean, just groundbreaking. He did things that no other candidate had done. in terms of networking people.
Raising
money from a lot of small people instead of, you know, relying on the big checks from a few people.
I mean, it really has changed how a major candidate funds a campaign now.
He could directly reach the grassroots over the internet, and they reached up to him as well through the website. For example, you know, talking about my family, my wife, who had never been politically active, got involved on the Obama website, made almost 5,000 phone calls around the country to primary and caucus states asking people to vote. And it was just, you know, there were other people like that.
From her home?
From my home. I mean,
by going on the website?
I practically threw my back out picking up our phone bill. So
that's amazing, though, that they have, you don't have to go to some central location anymore.
They gave
in
the
your
power,
town or whatever.
It's, no, they gave the power to the people and they said, we trust you. Here are a few questions we want you to ask. If you get this response, here are some more questions. Here's some follow up. Do they need a ride? We can arrange a ride for them to the polls or the caucus. Yeah. Click here. This is why Obama, you know, just ran rings around Hillary at all these caucuses where he picked up all these delegates, because he organized those states at such a low cost using the internet.
It's fascinating. It's amazing. It's just totally changing politics, isn't it? Or changing the way that it's played, not necessarily changing the whole game. Jonathan Rentels is the executive director of the Center for Creative Voices in Media. Congratulations on your two amazing children.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to having you back in again real soon.
Thanks, Coy. I always appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.